Hello humans, welcome to Audio Face. This is a bonus episode. I just said something really saucy because this has been a really edgy day.
Jesus.
And I just started straight into the episode without Sean really noticing, so I just caught him blindsided. This is why you should have started the episode.
He didn't give me a countdown, so.
This is one of our bonus episodes where we're doing it in addition to our last episode, which is episode 54, I want to say. Or was it 53?
It was 54.
It was 54. Yes, that's correct. And I'm just checking right now because I'm paranoid.
But it's 54.
It's 54.
I know my podcast. Yes. I have my alarm set every Monday.
The people aren't here for us complaining about the fact that we're podcasting at 9:30 p.m. on a Tuesday after we both had a really long day. But people are here for the fact that we are doing
Can we have our therapy session, Dan from the Intercourse, one day? Like, just, this is rough. It's rough in the streets. It's a damn shame.
But enough about Sean's love life. Let's talk about...
Let's talk about the gorillas.
Never say the gorillas around me. I have a specific thing about the being put in front of their name gorillas, because it's just gorillas. But we will be... It's like... Radiohead's my favorite song is Creep. It's like meeting those people. Right, it's rough.
I'm just being grammatically correct, but okay. I'm not. It's not like the 1975 where it's in their name. Because if someone says, listen to 1975, that sounds weird.
Right. Listen gorillas to the 1975.
Yeah, the.
La Brea Tar Pits, one of those tautological names. Anyways, so gorillas is a very interesting concept because you could be describing the cartoon characters, you could be describing the two people kind of behind the project.
You could describe Damon Albarn's constant wailing on the iPad.
You could describe
robot
Jamie
video game beats.
You could describe Jamie Hewlett's very provocative, like edgy cartoon stylings, but that's all gorillas. And so
Murdoch's dick.
That's happened a couple times. Not this phase though.
Not this phase. He's cleaned up. He's cleaned up his act.
I mean, he's in prison.
He says, yeah, exactly. He's having to pay up.
But Jesus, gorillas is my favorite band, legitimately. So this is going to be fun to talk about. But they're releasing a new album at the end of this week when we're recording this, called The Now Now.
Yetz.
And shout out to our, we got like 8 German listeners now.
Something like that.
Shout out to that. But gorillas started as a project of 2 roommates, Damon Albarn and Jamie Hewlett. They were roommates in England. Damon Albarn was in Blur at the time. Jamie Hewlett was a popular artist known for doing a graphic novel called Tank Girl. And they're both kind of angry with music media, music culture.
Yeah, who does this sound like?
MTV. It's a really interesting story here.
Don't go in the garage.
Don't sleep.
Don't go in the garage.
In this, the first Gorillaz song was a demo off of Blur's album 13. And I think it was called I've Got the Law. Yeah.
Actually, I don't know.
It was on the Japanese version of Blur's album. And that little demo on like a little 4-track thing became Tomorrow Comes Today.
Oh.
Which was the first single and the first music video for Gorillaz that was made in 6 weeks.
Yeah.
They had no notice whatsoever. They're like, okay, EMI has given us the money. Let's do this. And then they came out with their single Clint Eastwood, which kind of was their first major hit, especially in England, especially in the US. It blended this kind of, it was pop, but not in like a bubblegum way.
Rock,
alternative rock with a mainly rap part with a singing chorus. And at that time it came out in like the early 2000s.
Is it rhythm? You have it or you don't.
That's a fallacy. I love that song. And yeah, they just popped onto the scene. Originally, gorillas were very careful about showing themselves as humans. They always represent themselves as the cartoon characters. The first time gorillas went on tour,
they had the screens up and everything.
Yeah, it was a screen. They were performing behind basically a projector screen that projected little images of the characters while they were performing live behind.
I love that. That was so cool.
And there are a couple of...
Don't ever forget Sean Ryder coming on stage drunker than a dick.
That was for Demon Days. I'm not even there yet.
I know, but just never forget.
That's so much of Gorillaz is beautiful. But the first Gorillaz album wasn't very collaborator heavy. Mm-hmm. And a lot of what Gorillaz became slash has become potentially is about the collaborations that kind of make up the project. And so the first album came out in 2001. was about 1 hour and 9 minutes long, and I think it's the one of the, it's between this and Humans that I would say are the weirdest or like the hardest albums of Gorillaz to get into, I would say, because there's a lot of range here. You can definitely tell in their first album they're kind of trying out a bunch of different sounds and things they're going for. Nonetheless, it all came out pretty solid.
Yeah, I think Humans is still harder to get into, but
we'll get there.
We'll get there.
I also want, like, their second song on the album was 5-4, a song that was done to be poppy and punky, but in a different time signature. And that's how you can tell, among all the other things, that Gorillaz was really a band that was trying to experiment a little bit, do different things. And
dude, the Sean Audioface rule of do something fucking different.
Sean's award for doing something fucking different. And they're
not getting in this year.
They're not Radiohead by any means experimental. They've never gone that far, I would say. But they're doing a lot more differently and doing a lot more genre melding.
Definitely genre melding. And that's the biggest thing that makes them very unique. It's the fact that they can blend so many genres in one thing and not make it a mess. Which is rare, because sometimes people are genre bent and it's like, this is god awful. This is donkey shit on a platter.
And then you get people who think that genre blending was invented by XXXTentacion.
Fucking A, I was literally about to say that, and I was going to say something really bad, but no editing, so you're welcome.
And no editing, and we talked about it in previous episodes that you should listen to. We're on Spotify now.
Yeah, we are on Spotify.
We're on Spotify.
I wish you saw that. I opened my mouth like 3 times, and like my brain said no.
It's weird in between after Gorillaz, because the main Gorillaz albums didn't come out between, like, they're 5-year spans in between them. And they're also stories about the characters that are created by Jamie Hewlett and the band to kind of wrap everything together.
Yeah, so like different eras of, of the albums, like the 1975 eras. I love it when bands do that.
Yeah, because it's reinventing yourself and what you're doing with your sound. Mm-hmm. Not only with the music, but thematically what's around it. And with Gorillaz, it just goes super heavy. All this lore. And unlike a lot of cartoons, Jamie Hewlett wanted to make sure the Gorillaz never were static. They're always wearing different clothes. They are drawn in different styles with every single generation.
Yeah, the first style of the the Gorillaz self-titled album is super 2D flat, really flat style, and now you have 3D.
Yeah,
like they're and that changes from album to album. Like their color will be a little different. One time Noodle will just be a robot or some shit.
Oh, that's oh god.
So it's fun. I love the story of the characters.
Yeah, it's
very unique and different.
Yeah, it's never. It's always something a little bit random and off the cuff, and that's just the style they go with, which I like. And so there are a couple little side products that were done, like a Come Home, which is like a dub reggae remix of all of the original songs from the self-titled Gorillaz album. There were G-sides, which were like B-sides and some remixes to some of the Gorillaz songs, which also contained the 19-2000 Soul Child remix, which I think is one of the few remixes better than the original song.
So good.
Yeah. Then we hit 2005 with Demon Days, which we talked about the best alternative albums ever made a couple reviews episodes back when we talked about the Arctic Monkeys, and we talked about AM. But the gold standard that AM has to sit around among is like Demon Days.
Demon Days and Rainbows and a couple others are like some of the best alternative rock albums ever.
Legendary.
Demon Days is one of the best just albums, period, in general, of any band. For every single song creates a story and they are all linked together.
Yeah.
I mean, if there are plenty of people that like the Gorillaz and they think of the Gorillaz as Demon Days. I remember as a kid growing up when Demon Days came out, how that was huge. It brought the band to, you know, really big in the States, even bigger than before, and really
Feel Good Inc. was a big hit.
Everybody knows that song, and that wasn't their one-hit wonder, which is not, there's so many other songs, but Demon Days really exploded them to, people started to really look into the lore of the band, lore of the story of all the characters that they have, and I mean, to this day, so many people listen to the album. You see people wearing on the streets with the shirts of Demon Days, or like different little
The four boxes.
Yeah, the four boxes of the
characters.
Yeah, the characters. There's some people put play on that with different stuff like Star Wars ones or whatever of Demon Days. It's such an influential album to so many people, and for good reason. It's head to toe, everything flows, and it ends with some of the two most beautiful songs ever like written.
Demon Days has everything I want in an album. Like mm-hmm. it begins and ends the same way. It has the same kind of constraint with the same kind of range. Like it's like music at its best form.
It really
honestly
is.
And I can't, it's hard. I mean, I kind of don't try with episodes like this with our biases, I guess, because we're talking about bands we really care about. We have mm-hmm. this time growing up with, and I like grew up seeing Gorillaz. I've seen them every single phase they've gone on tour, since like the Brit Awards when they performed, I was like 5 or 6, to Escape the Plastic Beach Tour, Demon Days Live,
Demon Days. And
the last one. Humans,
but we went to see Humans.
Yeah. God, and so around the storyline, long story short, with the characters, the story was Noodle died in the video for El Manana,
yep.
sort of. Murdoch kind of let all of his vices get to him, and he was on the run from the law, which is the recurring factor.
Which is the ever theme of Murdoch.
Russell disappears because he's being possessed by demons who sometimes manifest as the collaborators for Gorillaz and mm-hmm. other times just like fuck him up. And then 2D is just kind of lost in general.
2D is weird.
Yeah, they reconvene on Plastic Beach, which is...
2010 album.
Yeah, the 2010 album. It's the kind of way that Damon Albarn, the musician behind Gorillaz, addresses environmental things. And the storyline of Gorillaz, they all escape to Point Nemo, the furthest point away from any landmass mm-hmm. on Earth, to this collection of plastic that's collected in the middle of the ocean to gather collaborators of music and release this amazing album. And that they did. It's very hard to come like back from an album like Demon Days. And it took a little while for me to fully enjoy Plastic Beach, which isn't to say I hated it originally, but it took me a little while to see it in any way even close to Demon Days. I thought Demon Days was so good. But even looking back, like the song White Flag, I'll talk really fast.
Yeah, how about it?
It was done and performed by a Syrian orchestra. And Gorillaz ultimately went on to become one of the first like English bands to perform in Lebanon back when that was a place.
Shout out to Tariq.
Right? And they kind of broke ground with pushing the idea of collaborating with music onto not just different artists and different genres, but pulling into different cultures and doing that, and then bringing that into pop mainstream music, which is really mm-hmm. cool.
And the thing with Plastic Beach is it took them 5 years to go from Demon Days to Plastic Beach, and Plastic Beach sounds very different and is...
Nothing like...
Like Demon Days, and this the nice thing about the Gorillaz is... Or Gorillaz. Nice thing about them is that they, each album you will just hear a random song from the, say, Random Song for Humans, Random Song from Plastic Beach. They cannot interchange albums. And that's a good, it could be a good thing, it could be a bad thing. In this case, it's a very good thing because it really separates each album as their own artwork. Because some bands, you can interchange songs and they'll, like, the albums won't change at all. We've said that
plenty. We complained about that.
Yeah, we've said that plenty of times on Audioface, and this, they don't do that. It's Plastic Beach. The theme, it feels like you're on a beach. It feels like it's like, I mean, they put the soundscapes in it of waves crashing, birds in the distance, foghorns.
The motifs all there.
And every song fits that. And you have this feeling whenever you listen to that album of, like, that's Plastic Beach, Demon Days, that's Demon Days. And every album they've put out has done that. And that's very rare for a band to do that. I love Plastic Beach too.
They're phenomenal at picking themes and going mm-hmm. with them. Before we continue, I want to talk about like particular songs, like in general from the past three that we've really liked. We kind of touched a little bit on the first one, but on Demon Days, probably one of my favorite songs of all time is on Demon Days, which is November Has Come, featuring Gorillaz and Doom.
MF Doom. MF the Super
Back
villain.
When Doom was like in his prime.
That's 2005 Doom. That's mad villain.
That's food. That's all the classics.
That's Canisius.
Yeah. Every Planet We Reach Is Dead from Demon Days is something they've started to bring back now on the Humans tour, mm-hmm. but it was just this beautiful, soulful, like classic rock piece in the middle of an album where you really wouldn't expect something like that. And that song sticks out as like an underdog in that album that really like kind of bring it all together. But then you just got like, now I'm kind of going to Plastic Beach. There's Rhinestone Eyes, there's Stylo with, you wouldn't think to combine Bobby Womack's like really soulful, powerful voice with Most Def, and they
works
did
out.
It.
Works out.
Yeah.
For me, Demon Days, the song Demon Days is fucking fantastic. Like three of my favorite songs, Demon Days, Last Living Souls, I will put that song on repeat, and then Dirty Harry. Dirty Harry, I love it because it's just in the middle, it'll just switch, and then you get this super hard rap part that just goes off. And seeing that live was fucking awesome. It was so turnt. And then for Plastic Beach, there's like way too much, to be honest. But probably like, I like Super Fast Jellyfish.
I was just thinking about that.
Super Fast Jellyfish is really good. And then, Mama Blinking. What's the other one with Mos Def?
Sweepstakes.
You're
a winner.
Yeah, Sweepstakes and Super Fast Jellyfish are awesome. Those are my two favorite on Plastic Beach.
I really like Rhinestone Eyes is super a winner.
Rhinestone Eyes, yeah. And Empire Ants. Empire Ants, it's, I know not too many people like that song, but Empire Ants goes super hard.
I like it live a little better than the
live is a bit better, but I like both.
Another thing really fast, Gorillaz live sounds extremely different.
It's like Radiohead live.
Yeah.
Or some of the good bands live, very different.
We don't get to talk about this that much on the show because we're just like reviewing things really fast. We're always reviewing recorded things, but a really big barometer of what I will respect in an artist is how they perform live. Because not every artist translates well live to recording or vice versa. Some people are very better in either one. But a band that can be good in both, but not just good in both, but can bring something distinct to their sound. Because when you see Gorillaz live, not only is it like a different visual experience, because you're getting these like massive high definition cartoons doing all these crazy shit, but you're also getting a different sonic experience because you can bring like out an entire orchestra, an entire brass section, and a string section, and a wind section to do certain parts of these songs and really bring them to life.
Yeah, and it's very, especially with all the collaborations too. And I mean, that we can go to Humans now, right?
Or, speaking of a lot of collaborations, is there anything else you wanted to add?
No, should be it really. So Humans is, well, I mean, we could briefly go over The Fall. The Fall is like a little iPad album that Damon made when he was bored on tour on the Plastic Beach.
And, yeah.
It's extremely experimental. I mean, there are a couple good songs like Revolving Doors and the Spider song, whatever. The Joplin Spider.
Joplin Spider.
Those two songs are kind of cool. Especially Revolving Doors does go hard. The rest of the album is just super experimental and him literally fucking out on an iPad.
It's like, I have an iPad, which in 2010 was fairly novel. And the idea that he, the idea that like a major artist, quote unquote, although this is mostly just Damon Albarn, released an album using only an iPad was like, oh wow, this is cool for what the technology. Can do.
Yeah, exactly.
And then there's also D-Sides, which was the B-Sides album for Demon Days. Unfortunately, there wasn't anything like that released for Plastic Beach. No. I think that would have been cool because Damon always likes to brag about, oh yeah, for every album we make like 80 songs and we cut it down to 15. Humans, they didn't quite cut it down to 15.
Humans, which they released last year, and I gave a lot of, I didn't give it a bad review, but I gave it a lot of critique because we like Gorillaz a lot. I like Gorillaz a lot. And I told him, hey, slow the fuck down. This is a starfuck, and it sound like the album didn't necessarily have a sound. It was so all over the place, and there's too much in between shit of like, I switched my robot off, elevator going up,
right?
Like really random in between stuff that just didn't fit with the album, and it was too long. It had some fucking bangers in it. There was fantastic songs in there. Really woke shit too, and craziness as always. But
I mean, like you had Vince Staples,
Ascension,
De La Soul, Return Back. There were some really like good songs in like the deeper kind of the album. Like I liked Let Me Out featuring Young Pusha T, The Apprentice with Rag and Bone Man, Zebra Cats, Ray Black, Out of Body with Kylo Kush. That was amazing. Sex Murder Party goes so hard. I love that song so much.
And then there's Moments.
And then there's Moments. And you love Strobe Light too, it goes hard. And we've, like, just in doing
Strobe Light's my favorite on the album.
Just in doing this, we've named, like, half the album. And so that says, like, the album was...
But the problem is we named half the album with seven songs. That's half the album. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
That's too long.
Yeah. There was a lot... I think the Humans album felt the least constrained in the sense that what Gorillaz had done really well to a T is put in a lot of crazy, put in a lot of craziness, but pull it back so that it's not overwhelming, so you still have like a complete product that feels cohesive and something that works. Humans, and I think that's because Damon Albarn led most of the production for this, whereas in previous albums, he had had help from Dan the Automator from the first album, the original Dan Nakamura. Danger Mouse, legendary Danger Mouse, helped produce Demon Days. And I think there were help, there were like just random bits of help on Plastic Beach Tube. I think Damon really needs that to almost like Kanye West or Kid Cudi, the way we were describing earlier. Yeah. He has a lot of potential there, but if you don't constrain that and go, here's what we cut, here's what we add, you don't be really judicious with that, then it goes all over the place.
Yeah, and then it's just a star fuck. And that's what happened with Humans.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. But I mean, there was some good stuff in there. So hopefully this one, so far, I've only listened to two songs and I'll find out on Friday, obviously.
There's fewer, so. What we expect on the Now, there's fewer songs, fewer collaborators, and it's also being co-produced by the person who produced the Arctic Monkeys' most recent album, Tranquility Base Hotel and Casino, and which is promising because it's a similar situation if you have a band that... I wouldn't say Gorillaz sounds stale because every album they do really make it sound different. Although...
They're coming off a work that was too much. So now you need to learn how to strip it back.
Yeah. And from what I've heard of the new album, it seems like they're doing that, but... That's something we'll definitely talk about later this week when Audio Face 55 drops on Spotify, on Google Podcasts, which also exists, but no one really cares, on Apple Podcasts, which does exist, and you should rate us 5 stars on, because that's the one everyone cares about, on YouTube, because we're on YouTube now, and on Audio Face Pod, on Twitter and Instagram. And I think that's pretty much everywhere else you'll be able to hear our Gorillaz review, specifically. And
in
any
the,
other podcast.
In the air, app. In the sky, on newspapers.
Not on Dave Rubin's show. but
where's that 20 million? Where'd that 20 million go?
Yikes. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. Thank you, Sean, for staying up an extra 20 minutes to be on your podcast and make content for it. We're both gonna go to sleep now, but we hope you have a good rest of your whatever you're doing while you're doing right now. And I hope someone's not masturbating while listening to
this. That's exactly what I slapped.
I'm just... Nightcast don't go great. We're just gonna quit while we're ahead. Thank you for watching.
Cheers.
Bye.